Week we don't have a script, but we do have a lead. John Cena's gonna
kick ass and chew bubble gum,
but he's all out of gum. This is just one story on tonight's show. Stay tuned for this, generational upgrades, and plenty more news starting right now in the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Well, hello once again, everybody out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice, Orange Lounge Radio. Not live tonight with episode number 724 for this April the 1st of 2018. And that is no joke. No joke here at OLR tonight, but it is going to be a little bit of Orange Lounge Radio Unplugged. I'll get to that in a minute, but first I have to go around and introduce everybody. Myself, I'm Rob Roberts, or on Twitter, at Sky, S-K-I-E, joined, as always, by my co-host. Say hello to Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Orange Dead Radio.
Orange Dead, yes, because we're not live.
Exactly.
We're dead.
Or
I like
dead
that.
Dead Lounge Radio.
That would be the Halloween episode, or episode 666, which we already did.
Yeah.
We hit the point where we've already passed episode 666.
Beyond evil.
What's the... beyond good and evil. What would be the next big episode number?
777. Yeah, the lucky sevens.
I guess so. We'll be looking forward to that.
We've already had episode Go Nanami.
Yeah, I know. They've all happened. Anyway, also here tonight, of course, Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. All right. I'm going to just ask you right at the top, because I know somewhere out there, even though we're not live tonight, we don't have our chatters, we don't have anything going on, which is weird. It's like a piece of us is missing tonight, but that's why it's OLR Unplugged. But I know if we did have the chat room going, Tiger Claw would be lighting it up going, Ready Player One, Ready Player One, Ready Player One. I saw it. Did you see it? So Loki, I'm sure you had to go see it.
I had to go see it.
Yeah, had to go
awesome.
See it.
Yeah.
And you didn't see it, right? Because I didn't see it.
No.
All right, I didn't think so.
We were going to go see it, right?
We can. He wanted to go tomorrow. I'm supposed to play Pokemon Go with Shane tomorrow, but I don't know how into that he is.
I'm going to go be a drag nun, so.
Tomorrow? I thought it was Sunday.
I'm leaving Sunday because I'm staying with JD.
Oh, well, tell that kid I said hi.
I will.
All right, anyway, if he's not listening to this,
but
then
JD's going to have to put up with all of that makeup.
Oh, that's
the bathroom's sure going to be white by the time I'm done.
Girl, like it's the first time. All right. Anyway. So, all right. Ready Player One, the Loki review. And go.
Well, I mean, I really liked it. I knew I was going to like it.
Of course you were.
And it didn't let me down. I thought, if we're going to say, video game movies, I think it did. There was definitely a lot of video game stuff in the movie. That's for sure. I mean, cameos like crazy of everything. Just, and I think it's just really well done. I like how they incorporated a lot of even, like, Street Fighter was in there. They incorporated some of that stuff. I like the changes that they made against the book and stuff. Some people had issues with that. But honestly, if, like, you're going to do it exactly like the book, some of that would have been really boring to watch. And that would have been something, like, if you were going to stretch this out to, like, three movies or something, that you could have probably done that. But I kind of like how they did everything. They have, like, the thing that you see in the trailers all the time, like the big race for the copper key. Like, that sequence right there, it's done with no music whatsoever. It's just all sound effects. And, like, I couldn't stop grinning. It was just so fucking awesome.
Like Tron awesome? Because that, like, sounds like something out of Tron.
It was just, like, nonstop action. Just nonstop. Just crazy shit going on.
So I know the movie, like, got, like, overall good on Rotten Tomatoes. It seems like the feeling I'm getting on social media is kind of like, it's okay.
Like, yeah, it's like the book. It's okay. It's like the book. I mean, that's kind of like what it is. The book was just it. I like the book. I really like the book. But some, my wife, who is more sophisticated when it comes to reading, didn't really care for it because it's just kind of, it's like trivia bomb. It's like the way I saw it compared is like, hey, you remember this? Hey, you remember that? Hey, you remember this? It wasn't so much that in this. I mean, there was some things, but they really kind of toned that down from the book. I don't know. Just like, I don't understand why this gets picked apart, but like something like Rampage the movie, it's just, they expect it to be shit.
Did Rampage come out?
Yes, it's already out.
Oh, I'm...
No. I'm sorry. No. You're right. It's not out yet. It's coming out. It's coming out in a few weeks.
I haven't been paying attention.
They're putting
Tomb
it out.
Tomb Raiders out.
Yeah, Tomb Raiders out. They're putting it out a
Which
little
didn't
bit.
Didn't suck, but wasn't great.
So same thing. It was okay.
I think, I mean, this is just, it's a really excellent thing. It's kind of, they have, like, you know, not to get too much in the spoilers and stuff, but like the main guy, Sorrento, in this, he wants to take over the Oasis because he wants to monetize it. It's just like the fucking AAA industry. It's like,
he wants to mine.
We're going to put ads everywhere. Like, they're talking about, like, oh, hey, this is your, you know, VR
wow.
view or whatever.
Sorry, I just have to say, even when I'm not live, the Google thing gets in the way. Sorry.
That's 3 weeks in a row, man.
Sorry, guys. God, I can't escape the Google chat noise sneaking onto the show.
So like they have like, you know, he's like, yeah, we figured out that we can fill up 82% of the viewers, you know, field of view before they start having seizures is what they're going to do. And it's kind of like, yeah, that's kind of like where the industry's going. So it's kind of neat to like tie in a little bit of like some of the, you know.
Let me ask this real quick, though. Like, how many, since it is a gaming show, how many, like, is there a lot of video game references? Or?
Like, all over the, all the time. Just all over the fucking place.
So as a gamer, you felt very, like, fulfilled?
Yes, it's very fulfilling. And, like, even if you're not so much a gamer, so there's plenty of references to, it's not necessarily a reference, I would call them, like, cameos, and, like, they incorporate a lot of stuff in there that's from different things.
The rendered characters look like they were straight out of a Final Fantasy game, though.
I didn't see any Final Fantasy characters. I mean, granted, the last battle scene, like, you can't see everything. Like, it's just there's so much going on that you're going to miss a ton of stuff. But, like, there was, I remember Spawn was in there, which is awesome. I did see a cameo of RoboCop in there at some point. Apparently, at the end of the last charge, you kind of see in the trailer, they do have, you know, like Tracer and stuff from Overwatch, the Battletoads. And apparently the Power Rangers are in there as well, like charging. So, I don't know. And then, like, the last, like, battle, which is kind of out of the book, is just... It's like, I don't want to spoil anything, but it's just like, dude, with that combination, you can't...
An orgy of and, pop culture references.
And the end of the battle, Mr. Rogers in a bloodstained sweater.
Oh, God, I hope. That would movie of the decade.
It's the ultimate showdown of Ultimate Destiny. You remember that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what it sounds like.
That's great.
No, but it's pretty awesome. And, like, I like even, like, Sorrento's, like, avatar kind of looks like this bulked up evil Superman type guy, which I don't know if he was, like, supposed to be like that, but he sort of looked like a Superman type guy.
Every time you say Sorrento, I think of Sargento and what pizza?
Or pasta sauce. So they make pasta sauce?
Yeah, pasta sauce. And cheese. They make cheese.
It was a good movie. I liked it. There was, I don't know, there's not really much I could really pick apart about it. I mean, it was definitely different than the book because they don't really, the big part of the book was like you found the key and then you have to find the gate. And so there was like a challenge to get to the gate as well. This is more like you found the key. Okay, now here, open the gate. You know, it's like the gate's right there. And then the gate's just to get a clue for the next thing. You know, it's so they didn't really kind of address that too much. But I liked it. I thought it was a great movie. It's definitely worth seeing. And I saw it in 3D and in the D-Box with the motion seats and stuff. That was fucking awesome.
I forget the motion box is the thing because I haven't seen a single movie in that since Tron. Tron was 8 years ago, or like 7.5. It was, oh my God, I can't believe how like long ago that was. Anyway, we do want to get into the rest of the show tonight. Before we get too far, though, let me tell you what's going on in case you have somehow missed this announcement in previous episodes, or maybe it's your first Orange Lounge Radio. You never know. There's people that find us through friends or other methods every week, so hi. It's a little different tonight. This is Orange Lounge Radio Unplugged because we are not live. We usually are live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at the Voice of Geeks Network, vognetwork.com, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. But this week, April 1st, a little bit different because it's also Easter. And so we all have Easter family plans, actually. Even though mine are in the morning, you guys are in the evening, and, you know, Jamie's all the way out in San Francisco. So it's just not going to gel together on April 1st.
I'm going to have a very, very gay Easter.
I'm kind of jealous. Anyway, but here's the thing. Usually we would just take the night off, but we just had last Sunday off because my fault, I was out of town. Well, really, Bobby Blackwell's fault
because
he had to go and get married But I will say, I'm sure
so overrated.
I'm sure this is going to come up on his show because I'm still going to do the call live on Sunday, and I'm sure it'll get brought up. But I do want to just, you know, again, congratulate Bobby and Jennifer Blackwolf on their wedding. And yes, there were lots of great nerdy references in it. Walk down the aisle to the theme from Final Fantasy.
Cool.
I remember Kingdom Hearts came up too at some point. Other nerdy things like Star Wars and like Weird Al kicked off the dance. Although, speaking of the dance, I will say this about Bobby's.
Did they have a polka?
No, it was tacky.
Oh. You know,
yeah. But anyway, I will say this about Bobby's wedding, because this was a nerdy reference so good, I didn't even catch it until like Jennifer said, did you notice that? And I was like, oh my God, you did. Oh my God, you totally did do that. So they did this whole thing like when it was time for them to do the first dance. And Bobby kind of like said, oh, no, we weren't going to do that. Remember, like he was, no. And he's walking up to the DJ. And I'm thinking like, oh, this is really awkward, right? But then all of a sudden, like Jennifer kind of like pulls him in and the song starts. And of course, he's like super into it. And they do this whole choreographed thing. They did the fucking scene from Final Fantasy VIII.
Oh,
the ballroom
awesome.
Dance scene. And they
That's
did
cool.
the whole thing where she pulls him in. And all, so that was, it was all part of it. And then like, I know there's video of it somewhere because there was a camera upstairs. So I kind of go from that whole like, oh no, like, oh dear, something's going on, to that whole like, this bitch.
Yeah.
Like when they get into the whole like thing. But it was fantastic. I was like, you could probably even see me in the video mouthing to Alan, what a ham. But it was great. It was so good. And I love that it was a traditional wedding, but very peppered with nerdy references. Like Ready Player One. It was peppered with nerdy references.
I was
throughout.
More
yes.
excited by that Katamari cake, though.
It was. Sadly, we didn't get to eat it. I guess the groom's cake is not necessarily something you eat at the wedding.
That's dumb. It's cake.
Well, I had never heard of the groom's cake tradition before this wedding, because it's a Southern thing, apparently. I had never heard of it. But yeah, he did have a cake, and it's on my Instagram. It's on his Twitter. Yeah. But the cake looked like a giant katamari, which was very well done. But the best part about it was rolling up things that were like Bobby. It was like a microphone and a VR headset. And like and I thought, oh my God, I love that. I love that. So, yeah. But we did get to eat like the cake. I don't think you'd really call it the bride's cake. But the cake, it was really fucking good. It was good. And like, I did not realize this is a thing I learned. You know, Bobby and I, we do have a lot in common. We're both longtime internet broadcasters, right? But one thing I did not realize we have in common, we both love red velvet. And so, did you just roll your eyes at me?
I did.
It's just chocolate, but they dye it red.
It's different. It's different. But
true red velvet cake is a very, very chocolate cake that shines red when the sun hits it.
It was good. Well, I mean, the cake was three layers. So yeah. Obviously I had the red velvet layer, and I'm pretty sure he did too. And it was fantastic. So anyway, congratulations, Bobby. But that's why we weren't here last Sunday live, because I did take the trip out to Georgia to do it. You know what, Bobby? I've known because of this show, and you know, obviously he led to the partnership that saved us from Live 365 when they were kind of imploding, and then brought us to the All Games, and then obviously we created Vogue, you know, together, you know, with our buddies. And so God, Bobby's somebody I've worked with and gone to expos, E3, PAX, all that stuff for like 10 years, over 10 years. Mm. So I was very honored that he shared in a special day with me, but I will stop talking about that, since again, I'm sure the folks that are listening on Sunday night are like, we just heard this on Bobby's show, but it was a great night, y'all. It was a great night. So this is unplugged. It's also unplugged because we don't have a show roll. Usually we have a list, like Jamie's going to talk about this and then Loki's going to talk about this. Like, we don't script the show, but we have a flow chart of how the show's going to look, right? We didn't do that this week.
PowerPoint presentation.
We don't have our chat room, which means, if we get something wrong tonight, we're not going to be instantly corrected.
Deal with it.
Yeah, you'll just have to send us an email to participate.
Anything wrong is an April Fool's joke.
That's right. Very good. Very good. Anything wrong is April Fool's.
It was intentional.
Got you good. All right. Let's get into our gaming weeks. Why don't we start off talking about that? We usually do at the top of the show, talk about the types of video games that we have been playing this week. Dark Sakura.
Since I'm better at reading maps than my husband, I've been his navigator in Breath of the Wild again in our quest to get every single shrine. We were on the last shrine.
Wow.
The one where you use the giant ball in Impa's house.
I haven't played enough of Breath of the Wild to find them all.
Girl.
Anyway. I need to go back and really like play that game thoroughly.
Well, we were on the last one, and then I told Dan that our next quest is to get all 900 Koroks. We have 120.
Oh, boy.
Well, you only need 400 and something to fill your inventory, to get all the inventory slots. But we're going for completion. We're doing like everything. Poor Zelda's, they're like, bitch, hurry up in that castle. So, and then I'm still playing Idle Pouring. I'm still playing Animal Crossing. We've got more animals. It's actually really fun.
Are they still updating the mobile?
Yeah, they're still updating it. That's like like different like things to do every month. Different, you know, things, ways to get your money.
I don't want to say that game flopped because I know it has its fans.
It didn't flop at all.
But it also didn't hit expectations. I know I've seen that.
Well, I'm helping it hit expectations.
But I mean, I was actually going to say a positive, Jamie, if you let me finish.
Uh-huh.
The positive was going to be, but they're still updating it and they're still doing all these tweaks to it that I'm just not hearing about because for whatever reason, it just doesn't have the same.
I just want a full Animal Crossing on Switch.
You and half the internet.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I've been, you know, living my Animal Crossing fantasy vicariously through, you know, the little teensy Animal Crossing.
Sure.
But it's been really fun. I'm super enjoying it. I've started playing Puzzle Bobble again, the phone version, because it's all I have time for anymore. I haven't touched WoW, which is sad. I probably should, but I need people to play with. Girl.
Captain Spike and First Mate Slidekick from Game Boy, you out there?
If they would be on the server when I am, but
it's a bummer about the regional stuff because I bet the Girls Gone WoW team would love to have you, and it's a bummer about the whole fact that you can't play with UK people.
Yeah, it is. But I've been thinking about putting some time into that once I get some of my responsibilities out of the way, because I even tonight after I go to the movies, I'm supposed to work on, you know, graphic stuff. But that's been the predominant thing. Is really I've just been like, we've all been about Breath of the Wild in my house. Oh, and I played a shit ton of World Cup Soccer pinball.
The pinball machine. Yeah, I saw your Instagram lighting up because you replaced a part, right?
Well, Dan hosted league night. There's two leagues. Uh-huh. In Sacramento, there's the Folsom League and the Lodi League.
What's league? Like
pinball league, oh, tournament league.
I didn't know there was a pinball league. That's cool.
And I think that we had the Lodi League at our house on, not this past Thursday, but last week.
Huh.
And like 24 people in the house, so I just went and bought clothes.
Oh, my
clothes.
God.
I'm down another jean size. Hey.
Hey, work. All right.
Yep. Anyway, so they broke my goalie. Mm-hmm. On World Cup Soccer. Mm-hmm. And the goalie is actually a hard plastic that's mounted to another metal piece, and it moves back and forth. You can still do the metal piece, but the goalie is a little bit bigger. It's just a big hunk of plastic. And they broke my goalie off of the post. And so Dan ordered me another goalie, but he jury-rigged my old goalie so that we could still play the table. And he's put all kinds of LEDs in it, and he's finished Creature from the Black Lagoon. Which we sold one once, and he always wanted another, so he shopped it out. And now we have The Getaway, which was High Speed 2.
Yeah, I remember that. I actually remember that
one. We have, like, so many Steve Ritchie tables, it's not even funny.
High Speed was one of the NES games, right? Like, everybody knows Pinbot,
yeah,
but I think so. They also did High Speed.
But High Speed was the one where you play as the cops.
Yeah.
Well, The Getaway is where you play as the guy in the Ferrari.
Oh, okay.
And so, it's another Steve Ritchie game, which the Steve Ritchie games, like, for example... There's Black Knight 2000 is a Steve Ritchie game. Mm-hmm. You know, The Getaway. The new Star Trek pinball is a Steve Ritchie game. And the new Star Wars one, I think he did that one too.
Oh, cool.
But he does really fast ones with like the button in the middle gimmick. And so I guess we've become Steve Ritchie collectors.
No, that's cool.
And he's also a super nice guy. Just, you know, going very deaf, but he's really, really just a cool guy. And, so we've been doing a lot of pinball lately.
Good.
Just, you know, Dan shopping out. We might be selling Star Trek, maybe, because we need room.
That's part of what you got to do.
Oh,
buy, sell, trade.
And my coworker and buddy Tyler, who changed roommate,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Went to L.A. and brought me back two new games. Well, new-ish, you know, new to me.
Mm-hmm.
I have now Puyo Puyo Dreamcast Edition, or Puyo Puyo 4 for Dreamcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I have Puyo Puyo Sun 64, which I wanted since that fucking game came out. And now I have it in a very nice box. It's really nice.
Awesome.
And but I'm still working on finding something for Dan. So if anyone has any leads on a copy of Salamander Deluxe Pack,
mm-hmm,
for a Sega Saturn for hopefully under $60, let me know.
Okay.
So that's it.
All right. And as the collecting world turns of the vault at Dark Saga's house.
Well, we might be selling off some of the stuff in there, but the Saturn collection.
You're still trying to unload that Ninja Gaiden trilogy, huh?
We haven't really put much effort into it, but okay. If someone wants to make me an offer on Ninja Gaiden trilogy, if it's under $300, I'm going to laugh at you. All right. It's in the box with a manual.
All right, let's go to Loki. How was your gaming week? What have you been playing?
I've been playing a few things. So I got Far Cry 5 because I was peer pressured by my... Well, it's not peer pressured, but like at least to get the PlayStation 4 version, I was peer pressured because they're like, you should just get it on PlayStation 4, then maybe we can play. And I was like, okay, fine. Because I wasn't decided between PlayStation 4 or PC. And I like Far Cry games. They're all right. And I usually get tired of them pretty fast. But Far Cry Arcade was pretty fun. So that's kind of the level creator that they have in there. So I've been messing with that a little bit. It's still kind of limited for what I wanted to make. But I could have quite a bit of fun with that. And then, you know, the actual game itself. So there's this weird glitch that happened, you know. So I was playing the game on normal. And then, like, all of a sudden, like, I'm in the tutorial. And, like, I thought of Bobby for a second there. I was like, I can't pass the tutorial. I keep getting shot to death. And, like, I'm doing everything right. Why do I keep dying so fast? Well, apparently there's a glitch in the game that sets it, all of a sudden, randomly sets it up to hard mode. Jeez. It just ramps it up all the way. And I was like, what the hell? And so I put it all back down the easy, and I was like, oh, okay, that's way better now. Now I can actually survive. But, like, I was, you know, I posted on Twitter, and apparently Travis had the same problem. He's like, yeah, that happened to me, too. I was like, that's weird. But, yeah, the game is all sorts of glitchy, you know, bullshit, which means I love it. So, yeah. So there's that. And then I was actually, you know, trying to get some actual programming done. So I've been doing a lot of stuff, though, for work and doing stuff for something I wanted to work on. But it's more of kind of education still because I wanted to do like a third person shooter. But who would have thought it's so much fucking harder than a first person shooter?
So speaking of work, a little birdie named the Twitter icon told me that you got a promotion.
Yes.
Congratulations.
I did get a promotion.
Yay.
A nice 25% raise, too.
Ooh,
that's special.
You got money.
Yeah. So, like, I've been trying good to get you into this specific position for, like, ever since I got up to kind of where I'm at now, because it seemed like it was really cool. It's basically people that... It's sort of like an analyst position, but it's basically finding efficiencies and like implementing that stuff.
Oh, like business improvement stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
I've done
like
a lot of that stuff is tied to training, so I'm very familiar.
Yeah,
with
so
that,
work. Yeah, exactly. So workflow stuff, and that's kind of what I do anyways. Like any position that I go to, it's like I kind of master it, and I find shortcuts to do everything faster. And so that's how, you know, I've gotten like great reviews the last couple of years just because of that kind of stuff. Like there was. You know, I started teaching myself JavaScript and like, well, first I started off with Visual Basic scripting to do macros and stuff. And now since I'm moving out of Internet Explorer, because no one should be in Internet Explorer, but, you know, I wanted to move away from that. So now I'm learning JavaScript to develop a Chrome extension to work with the stuff I have, because we use it's a database system, I guess. You could call it Salesforce. A lot of big companies use it, Microsoft and stuff like that.
Sure.
Isn't it like built on like an Oracle?
It's something. Thing? I don't know what it is. It's basically, it's a big, like, it's like a database of contacts and stuff. They use it for sales.
I know Salesforce very well, and I know other people that know it very, very well.
Yes,
it's very popular in the industry. Yes,
yes, there's lots of people that use Salesforce. But so, like, what we wanted to do, like, there was, like, different, like, quality of life things that obviously aren't going to be at the forefront for our programs to work on, because we just integrated, we moved away from a terminal system into Salesforce. And so I've been using the extension to build those quality of life functions on the client side to do all the things that they want to do, since we don't have to bug the programmers. I can just take care of it myself. It's like, oh, I want this button to do this and this and this. And
so in a roundabout way, all this programming stuff that for the games you've never done have actually kind of helped you out.
Yeah, sort of. It helps me learn different languages a lot quicker, so that's good. No, but I really do want to get into making games. And like I have been inspired, but like the third-person shooter stuff, it seems like it's a lot to learn. I mean, it's just, you know, with the animation systems and stuff like that. But it's good to learn it, though, because it's an important part of, you know, doing all these different things in Unity and stuff. So it's good to kind of learn that now instead of just, you know, going around different ways of doing things. So I've been kind of in just like a learning phase, and it's been fascinating. So once I kind of get that down, then I'll start working on some other things. And I don't even know if the third person shooter thing is what I'm going to end up doing, but it's just more of just educating myself, especially since last time I used Unity was kind of getting in the five, and now it's like 2017 and like a ton of shit has changed. So
yeah.
It's just kind of figuring out what all the changes are.
All right. Anything else for your gaming week?
A little
tangenty.
Did a little bit of Pokemon because they had that new quest system thing. So that's been fun.
Yeah, that just started the day we're recording. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just been playing that a little bit. And then I've been, what else? I played a little bit of Burnout Paradise Remastered, and that's all right. It's kind of sad that they just dropped the price $10. Like literally a week after it came out.
Oh wow, I didn't even realize that.
But whatever, it's fine. So I don't know. I'm just gonna be playing stuff. I've kind of settled on the fact that I'm probably not gonna buy any new games until the fall. But at the same time, I'm thinking, hey, you know, I just got this new job. Maybe I should reward myself with a Switch. So we'll see.
I bought two games actually. One of them I haven't played yet, but I just bought it today. Have you ever heard of Leo's Fortune?
Nope.
It's a little platformer where you play as a green fuzzy Muppet looking ball. But it got good ratings. It's really pretty.
Cool.
And another one called Human Fall Flat.
That I've seen, yeah.
Yeah, I got that one, but I haven't, again, played it yet. But it looks really neat, so. I'm trying to do more like Mac gaming. Because someone's gotta.
Someone's gotta be the audience for that. No, I understand.
But both of them were really high rated, so I decided to give them a try.
Okay.
I'm going to do my gaming week then. I was traveling for most of the time, so I don't have as many games. Although I did bring my Switch, and so I did play some Mario Kart 8 while, you know, we had some downtime. Because I noticed Sunday night there was, like, nothing to do. So I played some Mario Kart 8 and some Pac-Man Championship Edition 2 and, you know, a few things on Switch there. But actually, just a little while ago, I was doing some streaming of Ni No Kuni 2. I started playing Ni No Kuni 2.
How is it?
It's not bad, and it's not tied to the first one. Like, it does feel like a different game in the same universe, because I noticed right off the bat the combat is completely different. Like, it's not like an it's more like Kingdom Hearts type of combat than it is like a normal RPG where it's like fight, attack, run. Like, you run up, you know, you can dodge, and it's more action-y kind of based. So I don't think you have to have a knowledge of the first game, really, although I did notice like some of the location names are the same, so it must be in like the same world, although I've only played the first chapter. I've barely scratched the surface, so not all of that's come together yet. But I was doing some streaming of that earlier on my channel, Rob Roberts on Twitch, so I was encouraged to play more, so I'll definitely play some more. It is a really good looking game. It looks really nice. I bought it on PC, actually. I know most people are probably doing it on PlayStation 4. I felt for streaming it would probably be easier on PC. And then, you know, also I knew PC can run it at some higher resolutions than maybe what I can get away with on my TV. So, yeah, I just decided to get it on PC, and I've been enjoying the game so far. So I'm hoping to play more in the coming week. And, again, if you want to watch me play, you can over at Twitch TV, Rob Roberts. Speaking of Twitch, I've been playing with my buddy Delvin. Shout out to Delvin, who's one of the hosts of the Video Game Realness podcast, which they're still putting out new episodes out of Toronto. And we were teaming up playing Overwatch together. So sometimes I will stream it, like we'll both be streaming it. And sometimes he streams it and I'm just like, Delvin, I'm going to join your game. He's like, okay. So I end up on his stream. So I've been playing a little more Overwatch because of that, which is one of those games I haven't been playing a lot of lately. But, you know, there's a little more renewed interest in Overwatch right now because they just put out Brigitte, the new character. So it's changed the dynamics a little bit. So that's fun. I haven't really played a lot of her. I've still been sticking to the characters that I'm decent with. I play usually Junkrat. I play Pharah. I play Orisa if the group needs a tank. I really enjoy Orisa.
Do you do tongue pops?
When I do Orisa?
Yeah.
Yes, God. What's her catchphrase?
So you play Orisa Edwards and
Orisa Pharah Edwards
and Pheromone.
Cease your resistance. I messed up the tongue.
I couldn't help it.
Let's see. And then what do I do if I need a healer? I'm a pretty decent Mercy. I still play Mercy, even though they keep thwapping her with the Nerf bat. But I still enjoy Mercy. I sometimes play Lucio, but I think I'm just better with Mercy. So yeah, that's a little Overwatch, and I guess that's really all I have to say, except I will quickly mention the Pokemon Go thing since you brought it up. The questing is rad. Like, if you haven't played Pokemon Go in a while, fire it up, because it's cool. Like, now you have two types of quests, basically. One of them are little, like, daily things you get from Pokestops. The other one is kind of like this set adventure that is going to culminate in the ability to capture Mew, basically. But what's cool about it is that some of the quest rewards is not only another way to get XP and get some of the stuff you would usually get from raids, but you can actually get XP as well. So people that need more experience, it's a good way to do it. So, and it does throttle you. You can only do so much in one day, but like, I got an incubator as the reward today for doing quests. And I was like, okay, like, I always complain about how fast you tear through those incubators. And then it's just like, buy more. And you know, that's how they're making all their money. So I appreciate that there's ways to get free ones now in the game. So, yeah.
They used to have it, though. You can sometimes get them from
Pokestops. Right. Around Christmas, I think. Or there was it only at Christmas? I feel like they might have done it twice in the game. Like, there was a couple day period where every day you spun a Pokestop, you got one use incubator.
Yeah, that's what
they did that for a bit, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it was around the holidays. So, anyway, that is pretty much it for my gaming week. So, we will be back live next week, April the 8th. So, we will see you then. And then we should have shows pretty consistently until the end of June, the week after our 16th anniversary special.
My God.
This show will be old enough to drive right into a brick wall, as we do every
week. Mississippi, we were already old enough.
That's right. You can get
we might even be able to get cousins. Married in certain states.
That's right.
Well,
are we able to legally consent anywhere yet?
Other countries.
All right. Anyway. All right.
I don't know. We'd be old enough in Italy.
Let's get to some gaming news. Again, we're unplugged tonight, so I have no idea what we're going to talk about. Let's start with Jamie. Throw a story at us. Yeah,
I'm busy updating my Mac. Hush.
Well, you're going to have to...
So it's a game I didn't even know that it was out on iOS, so I just acquired it today. But Puzzle Fighter has actually gotten a rating for PS4, Xbox One, and PC in Europe. And it is a translation of the iOS and Google Play version. So from their little...
Wait, we don't know that for sure, though, right? We just know the game's been rated. We don't know
it's likely...
Because it's not Super Puzzle Fighter.
Well, yeah, I guess what I mean by that is we don't know if it's going to be the free-to-play model or if, like, you'll get a bundle all at once.
Well, the free-to-play model that's out right now for its basic features is that you can collect characters, you can challenge people all over the world in real-time fighting. You have all kinds of Capcom characters. You get ranking points. You can do world leader board PvP. And it's basically just Puzzle Fighter, which is funny because I knew... two of the people who did localization for Puzzle Fighter in the U.S.
Oh, cool.
For the original Puzzle Fighter. Was it Puzzle? No, it was Rival. I think it was Puzzle Fighter and Rival Schools. That was Chris Tang. Oh. As in DDR guy.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. Cool guy.
I
beat the shit out of my husband in Street Fighter.
The thing I remember about Puzzle Fighter, I didn't play the mobile one very long because you know how I feel about playing games that I need a controller for on mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of those games. So I'm excited to hear I will get to try it with a controller with this. But one thing I liked about it was that it wasn't just the Street Fighter and Darkstalkers, but they were putting things like Dante and like other Capcom.
Frank West, who's in everything.
Other Capcom classic greats.
He needs something to do since his series is dead.
Yeah, that's too bad, huh? I bet you that series comes back.
It's dead,
though.
Rising.
It will rise from its grave. And
Wise
from your grave. It will come out again, I'm sure, at some point.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, graphic.
Reboots, that's what we do in entertainment.
Remaster,
reboots. Oh, a trilogy remaster. Why the fuck not?
Let's do it.
Everything else is getting a trilogy remaster. All right. Loki, we'll bounce back and forth here. I don't have anything. I'll just direct traffic.
Let's find something interesting to talk about. Since we were just talking about Capcom, we can talk about, I guess, the Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Edition.
Oh, sure.
So yeah, that's going to be pre-ordering on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And if you pre-order it, you get Ultra Street Fighter 4 for free. And then Switch, of course, since Ultra Street Fighter 4 wasn't on there, you get the Super Street Fighter 2, the tournament battle.
Hmm.
So it's pretty awesome.
Except for the fact that I already have that Ultra Street Fighter 4 on PC.
But it has, I mean, it's got Street Fighter, Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 2 Championship Edition, Street Fighter 2 Hyper Fighting, Super Street Fighter 2, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Street Fighter Alpha, Alpha 2, Alpha 3, Street Fighter 3 Second
everything
Impact.
Up until 4.
Street Fighter 33 and a third.
Everything up until 4.
I don't see any of those bootleg ones. Where's the Black Belt Edition, damn it? I want to be able to throw rapid fire fireballs and have them wave up and down.
Where's the one that did all the urban legend shit where, like, you could stick Vega to the wall and you could handcuff somebody to Guile? Like,
true story. Arcade that I used to go to in college that was actually in the back of a bar.
Mm-hmm.
Had all those bootleg modded ones, including a Mortal Kombat that started off with the last fight.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, but I've seen some of those, like, Urban Legend editions, the ROM hacked ones.
Uh-huh.
They're pretty funny.
Yeah, where, like, somebody will be like, no, I swear I saw it once. Guile handcuffed somebody to him. Like, it's a move you can do. And it's like, well, because you saw some bootleg from another country.
But back then, we weren't aware of... We were naive to such things.
Yeah, that's right. There was no Snopes.
We barely had the internet.
That's right. Get off my lawn. All right. Well, that'd be cool. I mean, we talked a little bit about the Street Fighter thing last week or the week before. I don't remember about the whole, like, the tournament. And that must be the thing that they're putting on the Switch. But
yeah,
that's cool about the pre-order bonuses. I mean, like, if you somehow missed Ultra Street Fighter 4, which I don't... Street Fighter 4 feels so much like Street Fighter 2 to me because, like, all the Street Fighter 2 characters are in Street Fighter 4.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
The last good one.
Yeah. So, anyway.
You weren't
a fan of Street Fighter 5?
Apparently not a lot of people were.
Well, I don't know. I want to give it a second.
To play it now.
I want to give it a second chance with this arcade edition.
My girl's in it. Dan played a little bit of it. It was actually not too bad.
Yeah.
But I only care because I can play soccer right now.
I want to give it another look. Anyway, what do you have for us, Jamie?
Some Dragon Quest stuff. Because guess what? It's not 9. It's 11. Sorry, that was from before the show.
When it's XI, it's 11, yes.
It's me, Psy.
IX is 9, yes.
X. But yeah.
It's Final Fantasy, or not Final Fantasy, Dragon Quest G.
See. Anyway, So on September 4th, Dragon Quest XI Echoes of an Elusive Age, and also Echoes of an Elusive Game, will be coming out on PlayStation 4 and PC on Steam in North America and Europe. We will also receive a Switch version, but it will not be finished for a little while. But then again, we're also not getting the 3DS version because apparently Squeenix wants to avoid dividing its focus. So, whatever. But, hey, at least we're getting support for Dragon Quest games, you know, officially now.
Yeah, and it's going to be nice to get Dragon Quest 11, seeing as Dragon Quest 10 never happened. Now, I get Dragon Quest 10 is online, but it would have been nice. Would have been nice.
It apparently will have all the pomp it's meant to have, so huzzah.
I'll definitely be picking that up.
See America, this face?
Yeah.
This tells you everything you need to know.
Even though this is radio, we cannot see this face.
.com.
All right, Loki.
So they're making a Carmen Sandiego movie for Netflix.
Yeah.
Who's Carmen Sandiego? That's the most important part. Jennifer Lopez?
Gina Rodriguez.
That's not
who
bad.
Was in Annihilation. Virgin.
I didn't realize they actually cast somebody. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
So that's going to be a live action movie. And then also, apparently, they're going to be doing another animated project that's coming out, a series that's in 2019. She'll be doing the voice of Carmen Sandiego for that as well.
Oh, that's cool. They kind of do that to tie it together. I wonder, is it going to be geared towards kids then? Like, even they're doing a Carmen Sandiego movie, are they going to kind of gear it towards kids?
I mean, it does say it's going to be XXX, so, I mean, yes, I assume it's going to be geared towards kids.
XXX hardcore? Where in my butt is Carmen Sandiego? No, I think they're going to do a kids version. I wonder if they'll bring characters from the game show. Like, they'll have the chief. I mean, honestly, you know, obviously, rest in peace, Lynn Thigpen is not able to be the chief, but maybe they will have, you know, the same style that she did. They'll have, like, a chief of police. Maybe they'll bring over some of the stuff. Maybe the theme song will be that doo-wop-doo-ba-doo-ba-boo-wop.
It
needs to be the ending credits.
I think the big climatic final scene in the Carmen Sandiego movie needs to be somebody putting together a map of, like, what was the hard Africa or, like, one of those countries or one of those continents where, like, it was really hard. Like, when the kid got, like, the states in America, that was always easy, right? They would just breeze right through that. But when they got, like, Europe or Africa, it was like, really hard, and they couldn't do it in
you
amount
thought
of time.
It was hard?
No, I didn't say I thought well, it was no, hard.
Well, like when they had to like name places there or something?
No, like you remember the big map on the floor
that's
was
right,
the final
right,
round.
That's right.
And they have to fill in the map. Yeah. But like some people, you know, and even God, if you asked me to do it today, I don't know if I would I wouldn't be able to do it in 2 minutes or whatever the time limit is.
Well, so
I would
many,
have to really think it through.
Well, countries today though are not what the countries were then. And I mean it's
true.
Serious that borders, you know, change.
That is true.
All the time.
That is true. But you know, still, okay, if you had to name like if you had to point at an empty map of Africa and name every country, would you be able to do it? Because I don't think I could.
No. I get South Africa.
I'd get a good chunk. I'd get a pretty good chunk.
Like I can pretty much name most of the coasts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's me too. I could probably do all the coastal countries. Yeah.
Yeah. And like Northern Africa I could probably do better because it would be Egypt, Lebanon, mm-hmm. all that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But,
so
no.
Even Europe I doubt I could do. Or South America. Actually.
Rob, where is Luxembourg?
Germany?
Luxembourg is a country.
I could do.
So it's not in Germany?
I could do South America.
Y'all need education, okay?
I could do South America. All right. Well, that what Carmen San Diego was how I was getting my education, and it's gone, Dark Sakura. It's gone.
Well, I didn't do it.
All right.
You girl.
Did. You did, though.
I didn't do it.
All right. When is,
I am innocent.
When is the release of Carmen San Diego on Netflix?
They haven't said yet. That, other than the animated series, which is in 2019, they haven't said when the movie's coming out yet. So
making us wait.
I think we need to see a trailer first before,
yes.
Unless they pull like, you know, hey, here's Carmen San Diego. But they can't do that because we don't know where Carmen San Diego is. So, you know, they can't show us that.
You know, I always had this theory when I was playing the games as a kid. That Carmen San Diego was a code name for a big organization, that it wasn't a single person.
Mm.
I was getting into this conspiracy theory shit when I was 8.
You?
Me.
All right. Anyway, what do you have for us? Another story.
What, me? Me?
Yeah, you.
Ikaruga,
mm-hmm.
which isn't Radiant Silver Gun. I want Radiant Silver Gun. Anyway, the German USK has rated Ikaruga for PlayStation 4, being, of course, developed again by Treasure. And so I'm trying to get what they said, though, the date on it, because the stupid thing isn't listing the date.
Wait, these
just says it's rated, so no date on it.
The German USK?
Yeah.
Is that in Luxembourg?
I'll show you Luxembourg when
Fuck
I kick
off.
You over there. But yeah, Ikaruga is once again being released on yet another system, as if you didn't already play Ikaruga on, what was it?
All of the other systems.
It came out in the arcade, then we had Dreamcast, GameCube, Xbox 360, and PC.
When is someone going to demake Ikaruga for the 2600?
Would it kill Treasure to do a new shooter? I mean, to be fair.
Would it kill Treasure to do a new Silhouette Mirage?
And to be fair, new shooter games are coming out all the time in Japan, and so few of them make it over here. And I don't follow the genre close enough. I'm sure I will get tweets like, Rob, there's been all these shooter games you don't even know about. And yeah, because they don't ever seem to come over here. Like, it's just not, the genre does not.
For a little while, we were getting like some of them, like when we got Death Smiles and
I would think
Mushihime-sama.
The
and
Switch would be such a good system for those.
It would.
Because you can flip it vertically. Like in the Pinball FX3, it has a vertical mode. And
yeah.
You can hold. Yeah. And like that would be fucking great for shmups. But for whatever reason, we just don't have a lot yet. But maybe soon. And the Switch is region free. So
how very dare they.
Here's that. But cool. Ikaruga on PlayStation 4. Why not? Why not? Let's do it again.
Ikaruga.
Why not? We did Rez again. Let's do Ikaruga again.
How about just somebody give me Radiant Silver Gun on Saturn and I'll shut up about Ikaruga.
All right. Loki.
All right. So there's this article that was about, I guess, this Windows Core OS, which is, I guess, the next step for Windows 10 or kind of a tweak to it. So what they're going to be doing with this, basically, I guess they're saying Microsoft Windows Vision, which includes the idea of a gaming mode for playing games with an Xbox controller. And, you know, they're talking about some of the features. Windows C Shell, it says, with the same kernel, a flexible core, and a unified app platform, the last piece of the shell or UI that itself can adapt to the screen. taking the idea of Continuum to the OS level. C-Shell lets devices adjust their UIs for different tasks and experiences. A device running full Windows 10 for desktop would be able to take on a Windows 10 mobile UI to run in phone mode. Or, for example, a Windows 10 PC could take on the Xbox UI when in gaming mode. This means that we'll see an Xbox UI come to Windows 10. And this means we'll be able to launch Xbox games through this UI. This also means that we'll see third-party Xbox PC consoles if the OEM wants to use the native Windows 32 support or not. An OEM can create an Xbox PC console with S-Mode enabled, which has native Windows 32 compatibility and can switch between normal Windows 10 or can be based on Polaris, which has no native Windows 32 and based on the universal Windows platform.
They're not going to make Fetch happen.
This also means the future we could see Xbox hardware that comes with a controller and a mouse and keyboard. So that they're going to turn the Xboxes into PCs and the PCs into the Xbox.
Interesting.
And being that, you know, with that, there's also the possibility that with this universal Windows platform and this special shell that maybe... since they're going to be running Windows 10, that you can get Steam games for your Windows or your Xbox console.
So essentially, they're just trying to make like the Xbox console basically a PC on your television at this point, or like Steambox, basically.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah. Interesting.
I haven't heard a lot about Steamboxes.
Interesting,
really...
but my thing with this, and like, don't get me wrong, like it sounds exciting, but I remember talking with a Microsoft rep back in 2012 about this type of thing, and they were like, "Oh yeah, it's right around the corner." So,
well, the games the games for Windows thing was like a very like Xbox 360 kind of shell around games, you know. And there was stuff, of course,
it was a terrible shell.
Pour one out for Game Room because I'm always going to bring up Game Room. But that was one of those things that, you know, it had that you could play it on both sides and it would remember who you are, and it had that same type of shell on it. You know, was it just ahead of its time, Loki?
Yes, I guess so. But I mean, that's a neat idea. I'd be interested to hear more about it and see when it's going to be implemented, because right now it's just kind of talk. I mean, I'm hopeful that they'll do something. I mean, it'd be neat to see more Xbox integration, even more of reason not to buy an Xbox One. Mm-hmm. It's kind of confusing. But I guess if they're still able to sell Xbox One games on PC, then does it really matter that they're not selling consoles that they don't make anything off of?
Well, I think they're still selling enough Xboxes.
The question is, when they do implement this and we're buying lots of Xbox One games, am I going to have to pay for Xbox One or Xbox Live Gold? Because they're, now you have to, whereas no, we don't.
Who knows?
But that's going to be hard. That's going to be a hard sell based on a platform that can, you know, yeah, I could buy this game here, or I could buy the Steam version, which doesn't have to do that.
We'll see. Maybe E3 will have some answers, but probably not.
It just really though sounded like their whole press release there was full of wind.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're going to talk about kernels as if we're Linux. No.
We got one more from you, right, Jamie?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm just completely unimpressed with Microsoft bullshit. So a 2018 World Video Game Hall of Fame finalist. Here are the finalists listed. You can still vote for them.
Where is this? This is the Video Game Hall of Fame.
Yeah, the Strong's World Video Game Hall of Fame.
Yeah, this does come up every year. Okay.
Yeah, and you can vote for it. You have to look for the website. But the voting closes on... the inductees will be announced on Thursday, May 3rd at 10:30. So you can vote for the following. Asteroids, Call of Duty from 2003... Dance Dance Revolution, Final Fantasy VII, Half-Life, John Madden Football, King's Quest, Metroid, Minecraft, Ms. Pac-Man, Space War, and Tomb Raider. And if you don't vote for DDR, I'm disowning you.
I thought they already had Minecraft in there.
Maybe
no,
it was just nominated
before. It was a finalist from before. So here's the thing. I'm looking. I went, and you can actually pull a wiki article on all this. It's located in Rochester, New York. And if you want to vote, worldvideogamehalloffame.org. Here's the class
of 20- Wait a second. I thought that there was another Hall of famed somewhere else in like the Midwest.
Are you thinking of the one, the classics in Otumwa or whatever that town is, or all the 80s?
Something like that, yeah. Where they were saying like, oh, we're the center of like
that's
video.
That's Twin Galaxies thing.
No, that wasn't Twin Galaxies. It was some like... Are you to say that there is more than one place claiming that they're the Hall of Fame of video games?
Back in the day, the Metreon had that Walk of Fame, right?
Well, so. We're the Video Game Hall of Fame now, bitches.
All right. Anyway, Loki, the one in Rochester, New York. Okay, so in 2015, they inducted Doom, Pac-Man, Pong, Super Mario Brothers, Tetris, World of Warcraft. Minecraft was a nominee. It was not inducted. So that's the difference. It's like how... What's the band that over and over again never gets into the Music Hall of Fame?
Boston? No, Boston made it.
There was some band that was getting nominated every fucking year and wasn't getting in. Was it Black Hampton. Sabbath? I bet it was Black Sabbath. I could be wrong, though. Don't quote me on that. 2016 had the inductees were the original Legend of Zelda, The Oregon Trail, The Sims, Sonic the Hedgehog, Space Invaders, and Grand Theft Auto 3. And then in 2017, they inducted Pokemon Red and Green, or Blue, depending on what country you're in, Street Fighter II, Donkey Kong, and Halo. So that's where it is right now. So now, yes, they have some holdover finalists, but there are some new finalists, which include Dance Dance Revolution. Although, I got to be honest, how many do you get to vote for on this list? Three? Four? If I had to vote for four, I would vote for King's Quest, Metroid... I'm looking at the list. King's Quest, Metroid. Yeah, I'd vote for DDR for me. DDR and I might do Minecraft. I don't know. But that's my opinion. I'm sure everybody else
I'd
has theirs.
I'd vote for DDR, 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 and Metroid.
All right.
Well, I don't know. I'd probably give Final Fantasy VII a mention just because I played a shit ton of that game.
Yeah,
because
you had to watch Aerith die over and over.
Well, yeah, that too. But it really was kind of a genre changer. You know, really it was. You know, people, you know, I don't care if you hate or love the game. It has to be admitted that it changed things
for
RPGs.
It was a moment.
It was a moment. All right. We were all a little verklempt. Especially when... I watch Aerith die. I'm happy for Klimt.
Let's do one more from Loki, and then we'll do the classic game of the week.
All right. Let's see. How about we talk about Lindsay Lohan?
How about no?
Is she still in rehab?
I don't know. But Lindsay Lohan...
No, she's like the official spokesperson for like lawyer.com or something now.
Well, it's a good thing that she is a spokesperson for lawyer.com because I'm sure she's utilized them quite a bit to sue Grand Theft Auto for...
Again?
You know, this is back. I think this is it's the same lawsuit. It's been that long. Yes, that's right. So this lawsuit was basically, for those who don't remember, it was in regards to some of the artwork and characters that were in Grand Theft Auto V. Mainly, I don't remember the name, Lacey Jonas, who was in the game, and she was kind of like this, like a Hollywood, you know, young. You know, kind of TMZ trashy celebrity person, you know, where she was, you know, had a sex tape and like getting in accidents for being drunk and stuff like that. And apparently they're saying, oh, you know, because the artwork has, you know, this blonde chick in a bikini that, you know, since she's all Lindsay Lohan has also worn a bikini.
But let me guess, parody is acceptable and it's parody.
Yeah, basically they said that, you know, that her complaint that was a look-alike and it looked exactly like her, but unfortunately they said that, you know, didn't find that the computer-generated images, avatars, or NPCs can legally be called portraits. And so they said that Jonas wasn't a portrait of Lohan. So... apparently, you know, that's been dismissed. So,
and yes, she is officially the new spokesperson for lawyer.com, which makes this whole thing ironic. It's like rain.
So, I mean, just get over it, dude. I mean, like, what? That game came out, like, how many years ago was that?
It's a little bit now. Like we're talking. We're getting ready for Grand Theft Auto 6, although we got to get through Red Dead. Like, we got to get through Red Dead 2 first.
2010, maybe? I think it was a while ago.
All right. Well, let's travel back to simpler times, shall we? Let's Let's step into the gaming vault and go back to a simpler time when Lindsay Lohan was getting Golden Globe nominations for The Parent Trap.
When she was in Mean Girls.
When she was a hot redhead.
Yeah. Well, she was like 7 in The Parent Trap.
No, I'm not talking about then. I'm talking about later when she was, you know, hot redhead, not a tiny child.
Thank you for clarifying. All right. It's the classic game of the week. And once a week, Dark Soccer steps into the gaming vault to find a game that she thinks, hey, brats, play this game.
Put down your brats and play this game.
I'll whip you.
Whip it good.
And that's a pun because it ties into this classic game of the week. What'd you pick, Dark Soccer?
I picked Akuma Jewel Dracula, as in the version specifically that came out on the Sharp X68000, which was re-released as Castlevania Chronicles. But this one in particular was notable because the game, first of all, the original release date in Japan, which it only came out in Japan, was July 23rd, 1993. And the X68000, as I've covered last year in our classic console, the games ran on floppies. They were, you know, pretty much, Capcom put a lot of games on them because they were pretty much arcade perfect. But it was a really, really good system. Good computer system. So it was based off of the original Castlevania, which in return was also almost simultaneously released as the MSX2's Vampire Killer. So they were all kind of the same game. But it had a new engine that was designed to take full advantage of the Sharp X68000 software. It was completely updated, and all the stages were redesigned. Brand new stages included all the special items, sub-weapons, a rare item called the Laurel, which fills 6 health blocks for 10 hearts. And it also was really fucking hard. I've played an emulated version of it. It's pretty hard. You also have, you know, the hidden items, the different one-ups, you know, all kinds of stuff in it. It's a Castlevania game. But it was, it also did get harder the more you played it, too. It even had, you know, different things going on with it. When the later editions came out with the Castlevania Chronicles included more goodies in it. But I'm still focusing on the original. So the music on the X68000 also had new arrangements for a lot of the music. Because one of the advantages that the X68000 had is that you could choose different sound modules. So you could use the FM synthesizer, a MIDI Roland LA, and you could also use a MIDI Roland GS. So it also had a hidden general MIDI module that was, of course, not in the re-release of Castlevania Chronicles. And so the instrumentation would vary depending on which of the sound modules that you would use with it. And I mean, it was just a really great game. Very fucking difficult. But, of course, it did get re-released in, you know, all over the world later on as Castlevania Chronicles. And it did include some other stuff, although in the Japanese version, unlike the English versions, there was the hardware selection screen would appear automatically when you played in original mode, the same way it did on Akuma Jewel Dracula for X68000. You have to use a special code to get it on the American ones. I was very happy that the game did get a re-release eventually because the X68000, I mean, it was number one only out in Japan. Even getting one of those systems is super expensive. And, you know, on top of it, it's just a really awesome game, you know, one that a lot of people missed out on. So
is Castlevania Chronicles that different, or is it like, if I play Castlevania Chronicles, I'm pretty much playing it?
Castlevania Chronicles does have the original version in it. Uh-huh. It also does have an arranged and updated version.
Oh, okay.
And I'm actually really sad because I needed more information for the original release of it, and sadly my normal resource doesn't have everything I needed. Because the Castlevania Chronicles is actually a full port, but it also did add some other features and an arrange mode. But it's just playing the original version of it, you'd get a really strong appreciation for just what a good, solid Castlevania game is.
And I feel like there's a lot in here, too, that is influenced back and forth. Like the stage 2 that they're playing now This looks very similar to a stage in Super Castlevania. Like, there's... I mean, obviously, like, every Castlevania game that was a side-scroller kind of has that same first stage with the white walls where you fight the bat at the end. But then there...
The first going into the castle.
Yeah, you get a lot of deviation in the games after that. And, like, I noticed the stage 2, the underground stage, there's a stage very similar to this in... complete with the falling rocks and everything that was in Super Castlevania 4. So it's kind of interesting... You see, in Super Castlevania 4 would have been around that same era, right? Super Nintendo was, what, 91, 92? So
yeah, this is 93.
Yeah, yeah. So clearly there's stuff that influenced each other in it. So just kind of neat.
I'm checking the Castlevania Realm, which is another site they get a lot of Castlevania information from.
Uh-huh.
But this just has the character list on it. You play as Simon Belmont. And I'm trying to get the producer and composer information on this one, because the remake was produced by Igarashi. So, but yeah, I'm not finding what I need on this one. Sadly, and this is also what I get for thinking of it on the way here. but I mean, the game when it came out, you want to know how big the game was?
Hmm.
2.4 megabytes.
Jeez.
Right?
That's nothing by today's standards. But then again, also, like, Atari 2600 games were 4 kilobytes.
Here we go. Here's an interview with the developer. And that was Ueda Hideo of Konami was the developer of it. And I love the box art for it. The original artwork has, like, the kind of Western style artwork, you know, how you got the behind the head view of Simon.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the front view with the whip going out. Mm. So the artwork is just really awesome. And, you know, this is actually a pretty good article. I'd read it like a while back, but it was talking about like how they wanted to take advantage of the new stuff that the X68000 could do to put out the game that they originally wanted to make. And so it's just really awesome. And it also does offer differences for the other versions of the Sharp X systems.
Mm-hmm.
Like the X68030 has a few other, has smoother animation in it, for example. So they actually put it out to where it would run fluidly on the multiple Sharp systems. So it's pretty neat. Yeah.
All right, cool. There it is, your classic game of the week. Akumajo Dracula for the X68000, but most of you probably just know it as Castlevania Chronicles.
Yeah, and if you're playing Castlevania Chronicles, you just should play Dracula X anyway.
All right. All right, there it is, your classic game of the week. Thank you, Darcy. I can never resist a good Castlevania game. We've had a lot of them as classic games of the week, but that's because they're all pretty good.
Yeah, and the other one I picked that we had already done.
Ah, yep. So I know you're getting to that point where it's like, and you know, I'll just say you when you sent me the text, you said Salamander for the other one. I was like, did you know that was episode 350? That means that was over 400 episodes ago that you picked that game. But I mean, yeah, how are you going to remember that far back? Thank God we have the wiki. And
right.
Big props.
Well,
to
and I was picking a game without the wiki to rely on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So because I mean, I was quite literally in my car about to leave work.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, here's a game. I don't think I've done this one. I know I've done some of the others, but I don't think I've done this one.
Yeah, no, it's... So... Yeah. But thankfully, they keep putting new ones out, and then with
I'm just going to start doing classic pinball.
With our little 10-year rule, more and more games become eligible every year.
Yeah, I already got one for my next pick that I'm going
to
do.
Oh, good. Good. Yes. I have to think about
whenever
that.
Whenever that is.
Usually it's easy for me, because I just pick something from the Commodore 64, because she doesn't have that same attachment that
I
do.
A lot of, you know what I played the most of on the Commodore 64?
Hmm.
Centipede.
Okay, good. Me too.
My
I want that fucking C64 Mini. In fact, I need to see if they're up for... I know backers of their little, whatever they did, the Kickstarter or something, were getting those because somebody either posted on our Discord, which shout out to the VOG Network Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord. Somebody either posted there or like on my Facebook, I don't remember where, but like actually showing that the Mini's going out and it's getting reviews and like, I fucking want one. They're awesome.
I tried to find you a real one.
Aww.
I tried.
My dad has one. He's tried to give it to me, but it's been out in the garage for I don't know how long. It's not going to work.
Actually,
huh.
Dan fixed my ColecoVision.
Really?
And he just took it apart, cleaned it up, you know, put on, like, did some new soldering to it.
Hmm.
Worked great.
Well, maybe it will work. We'll see.
As long as the CRT works, the components can be fixed.
But
and you can add your own games to it.
Yeah, that's true. Well, with the Minis, I think you can do that too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So, yeah, the Minis are... The nice thing about the Minis, they have HDMIs. So, it's, you know, easier in that regard. So
I'm still wanting a Vectrex. Yeah. I'd love to add a Vetrix to the...
Had one, wasn't worth it.
All right, let's before we go over to the rest of the news from this week from Loki, why don't we travel around the world and check out some release dates? I don't know if you're ready for that, Loki.
Yeah, I've only got one, so it should be easy. So this week we've got a game called Penny Punching Princess on the Nintendo Switch.
That sounds
and
amazing.
Vita.
Sounds pretty amazing. What do you do in Penny Punching Princess?
I have no idea.
You punch out. Pennies?
Or do you punch
That's
the princess?
Pinching Penny.
That's not
pinching.
Okay, though. It's not.
She's a cheapskate.
Unless like she's into that.
So that's sadly, that's all we've got.
Wow.
I've only got two in the UK.
April's usually a pretty late month.
Yeah, and I was going to say, Japan's looking a little slow, too. I was going to say, traveling over to Japan, Watch Dogs 2 gets a price reduction on the PlayStation 4, so there's that. And then you go over to the Nintendo Switch, the Phantasy Star Online 2 Cloud, that is out on April 4th, so that's pretty exciting.
Why do we not have this?
Don't fucking get me started. I'm so pressed about this. Like, you could make a panini. I am so pressed. That's really it, though. Those are like, yeah, it's a very big game. But I had to look up this Penny Punching Princess thing, and it looks like these little princesses have, like, these big iron fists, and they punch monsters, and coins fall out. So,
ooh, coins.
Yeah. And then there's a calculator involved somehow, I would assume, with all the pennies that you're collecting. So there you go. Anyway, what about you, Dark Soccer, with Europe?
Two things. Time Carnage on April 6th and The American Dream on April 6th, which looks like a bunch of violent Americans in the 50s with guns. So that's it.
All right. Let's do a few more. By the way, we're going to roll our mailbag over to next week. So we'll be answering your emails live. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us an email for next week. But we do have a few more news stories from Loki.
Yeah, we can talk about some quick stuff. So the PlayStation VR bundle got a price drop this week.
I saw that.
$100 cheaper now.
I might finally have to jump in on that.
So you can get like the with the camera and everything. It's
$299. I already have the camera.
I think though it's separate though. I think you can get it without the camera and stuff, and it's like $239. So I'd have to check, but
I'd still need the Move. Well, I guess you don't need
you
it.
Can. You probably want it. They sell them in like two packs, though.
Okay.
I think you can probably buy them like at GameStop and stuff. In fact, I was just checking right now to see how much they have, like the PlayStation VR listed here. They got, you know, like the standalone stuff or not.
I'm tempted. We'll see. But I might be buying some computer parts. Like, you know, I've been looking at the show computer and. It's not so much like because I've actually been talking to somebody about some upgrades for this, but I'm looking at a complete sound overhaul.
Standalone, so just the headset itself,
yeah.
$199.
That's tempting.
And then
that's
if
really
you want
tempting.
Like I think that might be is that like I can't is that new? That is new.
Yeah,
brand new, so $199.
Okay, and then you can probably pick up a Move for like $50,
and
right?
And then the Move, I think the Move controllers I think they're like $50 or $60 for two of them. It's really inexpensive. Okay, here we go. Sorry, I'm bringing this up. While I'm doing that, while that page is loading, though, I did want to say also PlayStation Plus, they've announced what the games are going to be for April, and it looks pretty awesome. So the one big game that they got, Mad Max, is going to be free.
Oh, okay,
which
nice.
Is a pretty awesome game. Also, Trackmania Turbo, if you don't have that yet, which unfortunately I do. But and then also, looks like I think this is one of the last months that we're going to get PlayStation 3 and Vita games. But In Space We Brawl for PS3, Toy Home on PS3, 99 Vitas, or I think it's Vitas on the Vita. And Q-Bert Reloaded on the Vita. It's also cross-buy with PlayStation 3
That game
3
is fucking terrible. Just so you know.
But it's free!
It isn't even worth free.
Mad Max is worth free, so definitely check out Mad Max if you guys get a chance. And then, let's see. So, did this page load? No, it didn't, because GameStop's page fucking sucks. Whatever.
All right, it's fine. It's not a big deal. All right. Any more stories?
Yeah, I've got like tons of shit pulled up. So let's. This is something they'll be interested in. Luminous Remastered for Switch.
Oh yes, I did. Yeah, thank you for bringing this up. I did hear about this because it was part of the Nindies thing that they did.
Yeah,
while we were gone. That was 2 weeks ago, I think. But it's fine.
Whatever.
But we should talk about it. Yes. So Luminous Remastered. I'm so about. Well, it's not just on Switch. I mean,
right.
I'll probably
get
it there.
Yeah, it's Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One.
Yeah, but how would I not get it on Switch with the ability to do portable just like the old school one and, you know, dock it as well? Like, it's hard now. The Switch makes a really compelling argument when it's like the same price and it's portable on that system. You know, versus PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. As much as I love some of my games on those systems.
So, yeah, and here's some of the things that they have in there. So they've got, you know, new skins. They had two new levels. 40 skins as well. Different modes. HD rumble effects. So mm-hmm. you can, you know, feel different stuff with that. And, of course, Transvibration.
Yay. And you could do it with, like, up to, like, 10 Switch controllers or something crazy like that.
I don't see how many, but, yeah, it's, yeah, like, multiple Switch controllers.
You could, and I was like, where would you put all those controllers? Don't answer that.
What are you talking about?
Remember, Dark Sakura, anus thing is possible.
I couldn't even.
How old are we? 12? All right.
Almost 16.
That's right, almost 16. Speaking of games coming to different systems, the game that I don't know if anybody is really asking for this to come to the system, but it is anyways, No Man's Sky coming to the Xbox One. At least you get it when it's better than it was when it launched.
Bless their hearts for still working on that game.
And they've
still working on that game.
This is going to have, you know, all the features and all the release, you know, updates that they've done so far. And they're working on something called Next. No Man's Sky Next, which is their next step. And they're teasing it hard. And they're not really saying what it is.
They're teasing it hard.
But be excited.
And it's coming soon?
Yes, they're teasing it. They're going to claim the moon, you know, but I don't know. It's all right. It's not a terrible game to pick up, but at least it's better than what it launched.
I would only buy it on Xbox One, depending on the price, and depending on, I mean, if you already have it on PC or PlayStation 4, like, I don't understand why you would want to get it on Xbox One. But I know some people out there are, you know, exclusively Microsoft in their house, you know, and that's fine. So this is a chance for them to get on board. But, you know, again, if the game's like $29.99, you know, like, they've done a lot of updates to it. It's not the same game that people wrote off when it first came out. So it's worth a look, I think.
Depends
on what you're
nice.
Into. If you're into the Minecraft, I think it's that game is more like Minecraft than anything else. I mean, you don't build so much, but the exploration and a lot of that same sensation. I don't know. At least that's what I get out of it.
But you know what? If you want something like Minecraft, you could play Minecraft.
You could. I don't know. I think people are really harsh on No Man's Sky, and I understand why, but I think a lot's changed in the past couple years. And if you haven't checked it out in a while, it's worth looking at again.
And then to go along with that, you know, VR discount, they just did the VR update for Wipeout. That's pretty close.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty close to, you know, F-Zero.
That's the closest thing I'll get to F-Zero. That seems like, that would almost be like headache inducing, that moving that fast.
I'm sure they've tested it. Definitely be something.
Yeah, I want to check that out. Kinda, yeah. You're making a case. I almost like, God, I just what I need, more shit in my living room.
It's fun for a while. Yeah. And then
I know.
Wipeout is only best with an edgy con.
Well, you can't get that on the PlayStation 4. I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, so the PlayStation 4 is highly inferior.
And then I guess I can talk about one more thing, and that's okay. Duke Nukem the movie happening. John Cena as Duke Nukem.
Okay, I would watch it to see John Cena as Duke Nukem.
All right, whatever. Whatever.
It's my bar for Duke Nukem the movie so low. I mean, it can't get any lower after, you know, Duke Nukem Forever. So there is no way I can be disappointed by John Cena in a Duke Nukem movie. It's impossible.
I mean, who else would you cast, right? I guess it makes sense.
He does look the part.
He does have the square head. So.
And he has to do the hand in his face so that we know it's John Cena.
He's doing that whole pro wrestling to acting thing just like The Rock did.
He's hilarious. He's like, he's in the, what is it? Like, there's like, okay.
He's in that new movie, The Cock Blockers.
Yeah, exactly. See, he's so charismatic. That movie Blockers or whatever, which is probably a garbage movie. Yeah. I saw John Cena and I'm like, I probably would watch that. You know, it's like, he has got the charisma. It's like, What are you going to do? I mean, it's probably an absolute shit
But does
movie.
He have the uniqueness, nerve, and talent?
I don't know.
I think that one sailed.
Sorry. I tried, Jamie. All right. So is that it for news for tonight?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
All right. Well, it is a shorter.
I have news.
Oh, you got one more?
No. I've just been reading. I finished a World of Warcraft novel.
Oh, one of the Christie Golden books?
Yeah, because I really love her writing. Mm-hmm. And I was really pissed because I actually want more newer stuff and there aren't any newer books.
Which book?
I finished War Crimes.
Oh, okay.
And it was honestly, because you keep in mind, I didn't finish the Pandaria stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was actually kind of cool. And I thought it was a really well-written book. I really enjoy reading what she writes. So, and I want more. And I'm kind of pissed off that there wasn't more because I wasn't interested in anything else. Because the only book that came out after that was the Illidan novel, and it was more of a backtracking. It was a good book,
right.
but I want more like current stuff. So
okay, so one quick thing I was going to mention. So they did. There's some news regarding Bloodstain. So they are talking about that they're going to be announcing a release window pretty soon. But they did announce their U.S. or the English voice cast for it. So, let's see, they've got Erica Lindbeck for the character Miriam, and she was in like Persona 5, League of Legends, Street Fighter 5. This guy, you might recognize his name as the character Zangetsu, David Hayter.
Hey!
Then you've got Ray Chase, who does Gebel, I guess, and he was in Final Fantasy 15 as Noctis and Nier Automata. Also, looks like Ben Diskin, who's at Jonas. He was in, looks like Halo 4 is Jared Miller, and some of the Naruto games. The Coachman, Fred Tatasciore, and he's Soldier 76 in Overwatch. Also, Saren Arteris in Mass Effect, I guess.
Saren, or as my friend calls him, Saran Wrap.
Frida Wolf, who's Dominique, and she's in Mass Effect Andromeda as Sarah Ryder. And
I didn't know there were this many characters in Bloodstained.
Yeah, Gremory, Kerry Walgreen. She was in No More Heroes. Also, we've got Anne Rena Strober, who's in Persona and Fire Emblem. Who else? Christopher Swindle. I'm trying to see if there's any other recognizable names I see. There's only two more here. Robbie Belgrade, who's in Castlevania Symphony of Night as Alucard.
That's pretty cool.
I'm interested.
And he's
in
also
this.
The announcer for Tekken. So, I mean, that's kind of cool.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
And then finally, we've got, let's see, Jamie Mortel. I'm going to butcher this last name. Mortellaro. And he's the director for the voice acting. He did Silent Hill, Shattered Memories, Halo 4, and EverQuest 2.
Wow.
So
I'm excited. I'll finally get my Kickstarter pledge to getting that free copy of Bloodstained. But
yeah, they're going to have, they said that there's going to be a beta backer demo that's going to be available June 2018. And then we're announcing the release of the game.
So finally this year, it sounds like.
Maybe.
Exciting. Exciting times. All right, well, that is about going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. I know it was short this week, but that's because we're a little unplugged, a little off the record this week. But we wanted to give you something to hold you over while we're on a little bit of a live break. But we will be back live April the 8th with the next episode of our show and a full-length show with your calls, with your emails, and with you in our chat at live.vognetwork.com. But as I do say at the end of every episode, if you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please help us spread the word. We are the show where every gamer has a voice, but only if the voices are here to participate. So a nice 5-star review on iTunes goes a long way, or Google Play, or wherever it is you found this show. And then, of course, tell a friend or two. That all helps. That word of mouth is so, so important. And I think on that note, it's time to go around and get everybody's final thought. Dark Soccer, enjoy the movie tonight. What's your final thought?
Yeah, we're going to go see Pacific Rim 2. Just because giant robots and kaiju.
And John Boyega's in it, right?
Yeah. The only thing that makes me a little bit iffy about it is because it's not done by Del Toro.
Yeah.
And the last movie was so good. I really think this should have been the Makomori movie, but, you know, whatever.
I hear it's stupid, but I also hear it's really action-packed and awesome. So
it's fun.
I mean, but that was the first one, too. So
get some popcorn.
I mean, the first one had Ron Perlman in it, and I love
yes.
anything he's... I haven't actually seen the Hellboy movies, which I want to. But I love
I
Ron Perlman.
I want to see the new one with the guy from Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. I was like, different guy than Ron Perlman. I'm not sure if I can get on board with that. Then I was like, okay, I can get on board with that.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was a new one, but...
They're rebooting it.
Of course, they're rebooting every fucking thing.
Of course.
But was it today? Was it 30th anniversary of Beetlejuice? And they're talking about Beetlejuice 2? And
no.
No.
No?
No, they are talking about it. I'm just saying no.
No.
But then they also...
The only one I'm interested in is Sheetlejuice. Because that was Bianca Del Rio.
Right. All right. Let's see. My final thought tonight. I'm going to do a cheap plug for my other show, Shaking and Crying. Check it out.
Did you actually do your final thought, or we were talking about mine?
We haven't got to Logie yet. I was going to do him last. Check out Shaking and Crying. We just finished 10 episodes, double digits. Woo!
I'm shaking and crying right now, internally.
Good. Just thinking about it.
Internally.
Loki, last but not least.
Go see Ready Player One. It's awesome. And hopefully Rob will go see it with me again tomorrow.
All right. That's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. We will see you next week back live on Sunday night. Until then, bye-bye and have a good week.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.